chapter 15, Romans chapter 15. And now I appreciate you coming. And we're glad the Lord heated it up a little bit to melt this. We came up here, when was it, Lester, we drove up here? Friday. And it looked like, I mean, it was, the road was like that hill there. And so I got put in four-wheel drive and we drove around. And then we come back yesterday evening. I think Robbie come down here and he said he called me and said it was gone. So, but I'm glad you're here. Now, so usually when we have a lot of snow or something, we just take it for granted that you realize the stuff don't leave here very quick. So, but anyway, we're glad that you came today. Romans chapter 15, I was reading and studying about, and this verse come, and sometimes things come to you, and I think the Lord does it. And so this verse, and let me, when this happens like this, I try to jot them down as quick as I can because I get them. And then if I don't, I think, man, that would have been, I can't remember it. So Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Look what Paul says. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He's wanting them to pray for him, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. That'd be them Jews that followed him around everywhere he went. You'll find that they came down to Thessalonica. They come, them Jews come down there and they stirred up the Gentiles against him. And everywhere Paul went, there was some people from Judea that would follow him and try to disrupt his ministry and cause problems for him. He said that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And the service there is that offering that he's taken up. And he's going back to Jerusalem, and them people that's been following him around, he's going to have to face them, and he's praying to be delivered. And he wants the Romans to pray for him there, and he's asking them for his prayers. When he takes that offering that he's going around taking up for the four saints in Jerusalem, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And so I was studying a little bit about the life of Paul, and when I come to verse 30 there, there's a phrase there, that and it's one of the probably as good a phrase as in the Bible, and you never hear much of it said, talked about. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit." And we hear all the time about the love of God, and which is good, and you hear about the Lord Jesus Christ is love for you and giving his life for you, which is good. But you never hear much about the love of the Holy Spirit. And I got to thinking about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so maybe this week, maybe the next, or whatever, how long until I feel like I've covered the subject, I want to talk to you about the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. Now I believe he is as much God as Jesus Christ. I do not believe that it's God the Father up here and God the Son in the middle and God the Holy Spirit down here. I don't believe that. I believe it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. I believe that they all equally is God. For instance, people say, well, Jesus Christ is not God. Yes, he is. For instance, turn to Acts and look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I believe it's important to understand the Trinity, and we'll never understand the Trinity, but it's important for us to believe the Trinity. Jehovah's Witnesses, they think that Jesus Christ and the devil were brothers. One was a bad one, the good seed, and the other was the bad seed. And we find that there's religions out here that they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. Islam does not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe that He is a prophet. They believe He is a prophet. And even not so much a greater prophet than Muhammad. And so, you know what that tells me when somebody says that Jesus Christ is not God? I immediately think of what John said in 1 John. He that confesses that Jesus Christ is not God is the Antichrist. I mean, and it's that spirit of Antichrist. And people don't look at Jesus Christ as being God. They look at Him as a good prophet. They look at Him as a good man to set an example. And the world looks at Him in the flesh. And the religion looks at Him in the flesh. Well, Paul said, we don't know Christ after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more after the flesh. We as members of the body of Christ are in a spiritual body, and we are identified in Him, and we don't know Him in the flesh. We know Him in the Spirit. Now, we'll get to some of that, and so just bear with me. But notice in Acts chapter 20, and notice what he says in Acts chapter 20, how that Paul is talking about there, but let me see if I can find it here right quick. Well, I can't seem to be find it. He gets them together. Yeah, here it is. Okay, verse 28. Now he's talking to the people of Ephesus. He calls them together, and he begins to tell them about how that. Now look back in verse 25. Now behold, I know ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And you'll find that he wrote down the counsel of God that he declared unto the people at Ephesus. And you got it in a King James Bible, by the way. And people just miss that all the time. They think that the counsel of God is, you know, some mistake. No, it's wrote down for you. And you'll find it in Romans through Philemon. But look what he says in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased. Now the church of God which He there is a reference to God which He, God, hath purchased with His, God, own blood. Well, whose blood was shed? Jesus Christ. Well, is He God? As sure as you're in this room. Look in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. Notice what he says in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now people make a big deal about that kingdom of His dear Son. Where is Jesus Christ at? Well, He's seated in heavenly places, is He not? Well, are we in Jesus Christ? Well, then we're in the kingdom of His dear Son, are we not? Why? We're seated with Him up there. Now look what he says. He says there in verse 14, in whom? Jesus Christ, the Son. We have redemption through His blood, Jesus Christ. Even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by Him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. All things are created by Him. Who? Jesus Christ. Is He Creator? He's God, folks. Jesus Christ is as much God as God the Father. Now, I look at the Trinity like water. Jesus Christ is the invisible image of the invisible God. Look back in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And you can't separate these things out. And maybe this might help you understand some things. But notice what he says there in John chapter 4. And he's talking about God the Father. Verse 21, Jesus said unto her, the woman at the well, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. For ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit, little s, and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a what? Spirit. Is God a spirit? Sure is. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Look back with me to Philippians. Look in Philippians. And notice in Philippians chapter 3, and Paul says we do that. In Philippians chapter 3, and I'm just going to start in verse 2. Beware of dogs. Now I take that literally. And if you know me, you know I do. There's not a dog on the planet that I ain't bewaring of. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Little s. And rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Flesh would be the works of the flesh. We are of the circumcision. What are you talking about, Paul? Well, look over in Colossians again, in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, notice what he said in verse 11. Let me read verse 10. And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Got to be spiritual, made without hands, right? We are the circumcision in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And that circumcision of Christ was not when He was 8 days old as a baby under the Jewish law being circumcised. That circumcision of Christ happened on the cross. And God had made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And God cut, as it was, the flesh, that body of sin, away from Him. And Jesus Christ died and was circumcised spiritually in cutting away that body of sins of the flesh. And the Holy Spirit is the one that done that. Now, I look at it like water. Jesus Christ is the form. Jesus Christ is the image. God was in Christ. You walked up to God, Jesus Christ, when He was on this planet, it would be like Moses walking up to the veil. God was in there, and that veil was a type of the flesh. That flesh covered Him, and you walked up to Him, you'd be walking up to God Almighty and talking to God Almighty. No doubt about it. I look at it like water. I go back yonder and I get water out. I pour it in there. Right here we have some. A cup of water. It moves. You can see it. It's there. I take this water and I put it in a freezer. What's going to happen to it? It's going to freeze. It's going to become what? Solid. Ice. Is it any less water? Can you do things with this water that you can do with ice? Now you got to think. We put ice into stuff to make it stuff cold, right? Can you just go get some water and put it in there? So no, man, you ain't going. You know, you get an ice chest. You go down there. We go down there. We have a fellowship. Why don't you just fill it up with water? You put it in your drinks, don't you? Why don't you just pour a little water in your drink? Say, well, you're crazy. It's got a different purpose. But is it any less water? I can take this water and I can put heat to it. What's going to happen to it? It's going to begin to boil. It's going to change from a liquid to a vapor, is it not? Can you use water like you can use steam? They use steam. It's like power, isn't it? Has a different purpose, different form, but it's still water, isn't it? That's the way I look at the Trinity. I look at the Trinity as all of three of them is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's equal. There's nothing separating about them. They are one, but yet they have different purposes or work or motives. They do things. Now I hope that don't, and I'm not trying to be blasphemous about the thing, or I'm just saying the Holy Spirit has a job to do. Jesus Christ had a job to do. He came and He said, Father, the work that Thou hast gave to Me to do, I've done it. I've finished it. Twice He said that. On the cross He said, it's finished. He had something to do. And He fulfilled it. The Holy Spirit has something to do, and He's fulfilling it. God the Father, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I want you to look at the Holy Spirit. Notice this thing about Him. He talks about the love of the Spirit. You ever thought about the love of the Spirit? Number one, let's look at some things about it. He's given us a Bible that we can trust. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20.
knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, they were moved and they wrote down words, they penned words that God, the Holy Spirit, had told them to write. He gave us, look in Timothy, back in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, notice in chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, folks, there's no doubt. You know what thoroughly furnished is in its expression? It's a maritime term. It's like seafaring. You fit out a ship to go across the ocean. You put everything in that ship that you're going to need for that journey. That's the thoroughly furnished. God has given you enough material, enough things in this book to get you to eternity out there. There's nothing else you need. It's wrote down for you. Everything that you need in this life, I mean, to get you through this life, grace, whole nine yards, God has it in this book. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gave you this. The love of the Spirit. He loved you enough that He provided for you a book, words, that He had men to write down, and He had them to translate them out of the Greek and the Hebrew into English and put it in sixth grade English so that nobody would be without excuse, and we can read in sixth grade English what God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, would want us to know. What a Savior. Not only that, He loved us enough that He convinced us that we were sinners. Now, there's never been nobody that's ever been saved that didn't get saved until the Holy Spirit convicted them. Look in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, Jesus talking about the Comforter. In John chapter 16, verse 7, He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." And He talks about Him in verse 13, 14, 15, how that in verse 14, He'll glorify Me. That's one of His... Jesus Christ. He won't speak of Himself. He said in verse 13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." And that's a verse, that's a principle that's so in any dispensation. The Holy Spirit will not lead you into nothing but truth. And that's why I say so many times that people that are saying they're led by the Holy Spirit and they're preaching the doctrine for the kingdom over here, as for the doctrine of the grace of God, is not the Holy Spirit. That's not truth for you. You can't take truth that was for the nation Israel back here and apply it to the body of Christ doctrinally and say that the Spirit of God's telling you to do that. You're lying.
Why? It's not truth for you today. You know, I heard a man this morning, I was listening to him, and he's talking about, and I thought, well, that's good. He's talking about how that Jesus Christ died for all your sins and has forgiven you of all your sins. And in the same breath, come right back and said, you got to confess your sins to get forgiveness. And I'm sitting there thinking, and he says that, out of there, and he's just going around and around. I'm sitting there thinking, my land, I mean, you just told us that Jesus Christ died for all your sins and God forgave you of all your sins when He saved you, and then you turn around and say you got to confess your sins to get forgiveness? Now, which is it? It can't be both. You're either forgiven or you're not. If I must confess my sins to get forgiveness, what if I leave one out? What if I don't confess them? Will I be forgiven? Come on, folks, a little light from the class here. If he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, let me ask you something. If you don't confess them, will you be forgiven? According to the verse, you won't. Then he didn't forgive all your sins when he saved you then, did he? Now you got, and see, I'm sitting there listening to all this stuff, and this guy, evidently, he got himself so twisted up. He said, now don't get me wrong, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. What? That's just what he has been preaching. And this is an independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptist preacher. You know, sometimes, Junior, why are you listening to this? Because it's so entertaining. It's like wrestling used to be, too. If you're a fan of wrestling, I'm not kicking you sport. But it's always funny to me that poor old guy gets beat half to death, chairs busting over his head, fold in the air, comes down, slammed on it, and he's just locked there. And all of a sudden, he beats the tar out of that guy that's been beating him. Something not right with that pitcher. And that's the way it is with a lot of preaching. Like that guy asked me one time, said, do you really believe that Balaam's ass spoke? I said, sure do. And I said, I get it confirmed all the time when I listen to some of these preachers. That's the way it is, folks. Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. Paul said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Where did the truth come from? The Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He convinced me that I was lost. Notice this word convince. He said there, he reproved here. He reproved the world of sin. Turn back to John chapter 8. In verse 9. Verse 9 says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience,
went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. That word convicted, being convicted, that's the same word as reproved. And it's the same word as convince. And the Holy Spirit had it translated differently. Why? So you can see what it means. What is it to be convicted? It's to be convinced. Jesus Christ used the word in John over there. He said, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" You know what he said? "Which of you convicts me of sin?" If you're saying I'm convinced, you're saying I'm convicted. Now, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. No man will ever see himself in need of a Savior until he's convinced that he's lost and needs a Savior. When did that ever happen to you? When did you see yourself as a Savior, a sinner? People say, "Well, I don't feel the conviction." Nothing to do with feeling anything. It has to do with knowing something. The Bible says in Proverbs, and I'm not going to turn there, but man's ways. You hear a man, he says, "Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, I think I'm a pretty good person." That's man talking about man. You ever noticed in the Bible, like in Isaiah 6, where in the year King I was lifted up, he saw the Lord, Isaiah did. And you know what he said? "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." Do you know what it is when you see yourself, you get close to the Lord, you see how sorry and dirty and filthy you really are? That's the spirit of what you are. If you're here today and you see yourself and you say, "I know I'm a sinner," that's not the devil telling you that. That's the Spirit of God showing you that. It ain't got nothing to do with feeling something. Now, I grant you that you will feel something. Feel pretty sorry. Miserable because we peace. Why? It was. You see, and there's a conflict going on. Accept it. The Holy Spirit convinces, he convicts us. Then he sent somebody. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, sort of just laying the foundation. And Lord willing, next week we'll try to go into more in depth on the work of the Holy Spirit. But notice what he says in Romans chapter 10, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Well, who sends them? Look back in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13. Chapter
chapter 13, notice in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius, Cyrene, and Maim, and that which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they put their hands on, they sent them away. And the Holy Ghost sent them out. Separate them unto me for the work. Every member of the body of Christ has been called. Job, and you're separated out in the Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit sends people by and presents the gospel to other people so that the body of Christ can grow and be, and people can hear the good news and be saved. I'm glad God sent somebody by. What if you'd been born in Los Alobio or somewhere like that? What if you'd been raised in Catholicism so deep that you could have never heard the truth? Aren't you glad for the love of the Spirit? Just as the Spirit of God loved you, Jesus loved you to give Himself, and God loved you, the Father, to give His Son for you, the Holy Spirit loved you enough to send somebody by your way, and your eyes crossed, and you heard the gospel, and you believed it, and you were saved. Thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, He's not an influence. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is just as much a person as Jesus Christ was. To say the Holy Spirit is an influence is to say that God is just an influence. And He's not. And we'll get into more of that next week. But I love Him. He's a constant companion. Nowhere you go, He doesn't go with you. When you're driving down the road just talking, you're talking to Him. He's the one that's beside you. I mean, folks, He's there with you. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, He's none of you, none of His. The Bible says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that's a mystery to me, how that God the Creator can dwell inside my body. My body becomes the Holy Ghost. That's something there. Paul, know ye not? In other words, you should have known. He take him. How it leave him for members of the body of Christ into religious places and idolatry and all of that, and He's here to glorify the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's brought into organizations where they glorify or their work or their idols or their denomination instead of the Lord. How that must grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to ever grieve Him. Well, I'm glad He sent somebody by to preach to me. I'm glad I was born where I was born. I didn't choose who my parents was, but thank God they took me to church. Thank God I didn't know much about rightly dividing, but the preachers that I came up under knew the gospel. And they knew about salvation. And I praise the Lord for that. And I thank God in heaven. And we'll get to that later on. But he crossed my paths with a man that brought the truth to me. My, how the Holy Spirit, we look back in our lives and we see how he's worked, operated. The love of the Holy Spirit, the love of Spirit. He has a love for you. All right. Okay.